This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Ian Bremmer is the president and founder of the Eurasia Group, a global risk research and consulting firm. Ian, thanks for joining us.
David, my pleasure.
All right, let's go through some possible effects. Under fast-track authority, both the House and Senate have to approve treaties. What happens to, let's say, the NAFTA overhaul, this USMCA, they call it?
Because it's a tweak and because so many in the House on both Democratic and Republican parties would be negatively impacted if it blows up because of major trade with both the Canadians and the Mexican supply chain and the rest, I actually think that this is going to be unimpacted by the elections, and Trump will end up with a small but significant trade win there.
Does it affect the trade war with China?
There it does, and it's not so much what the House can do in foreign policy. It's more that to the extent that Trump feels increasingly besieged at home with all of the investigations coming against him and a harder time driving the narrative on what we're talking about, what the headlines are, we know that Trump responds to that in only one way, which is escalation, and it's harder to contain him. Certainly, to the extent that he's looking for enemies, China is one of those places. I don't think that has a big impact on the big upcoming meeting Trump's going to have with Xi Jinping in Argentina at the end of November, but I think the potential stickiness of any outline agreement between the two leaders is going to be under more threat as a consequence of the challenges Trump's going to have at home.
Now, here's something that you think a lot about, the U.S. shift away from international institutions under Trump and what was a Republican Congress, shift away from the U.N., the World Trade Organization. How do these election results play out with that in mind?
David, the interesting thing about foreign policy is that the foreign policy establishment in the United States, Democrat and Republican, they're pretty coherent, and they're both really unhappy with all of the things Trump's been doing internationally in that regard, right? I mean, so whether it's the pullout of the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord or the move of the embassy in Jerusalem, I mean, even the Iranian deal, frankly, at the end of the day, most of the foreign policy establishment would have wanted to have more stability of U.S. leadership in big multilateral agreements and architecture. So Trump's decision to move away, he's brought Republicans with him kind of reluctantly because they don't want to go after him. But it's really been him. It's been a more unilateral approach. And I don't think the shift in the House is going to change that all that much, especially with him having picked up seats in the Senate that he helped campaign for him. And the Senate's going to be a bulwark for him.
All right. Now, a divided Congress. This is being seen this morning as a test of whether the leaders of this new Congress can find some, any, maybe common ground. Now, Ian, I don't turn to you for Pollyanna quotes about politicians embracing each other in a public-spirited sense of bipartisanship. You're a realpolitik man. But might the House and Senate now work together on something?
No. I really do believe that the level of division in the United States comes through very strongly with what just happened. Republicans doing better in rural areas, doing worse in suburbs, more of the pro-Trump Republicans succeeding, more of the stronger progressive Democrats succeeding, and two parties that look increasingly broken, a lot of anti-establishment sentiment in both sides. I think 2020 looks really fractious, and to the extent that Trump wants to get things done, like Obama, he's going to be going to executive order.
Ian Bremmer founded the Eurasia Group, which fields platoons of political scientists to analyze the world and explain it to corporate clients. Ian, thank you.
David, talk to you soon.